Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I am Carly Corrigal and I wanted to start by saying a massive thank you to everybody who listened to last week's confessional episode of the pod, all about the mistake I made last year with my own training. You're very generous in your responses, but it has blown me away how many of you can relate to what I've said. If you haven't listened yet, pop it on your liked episodes and go back and have a listen after this. But today, my friends, I want to talk to you about my bread and butter, something I do every single day of the week, which is talk about strength training. And I have to say, strength training for midlife women will not be a new topic to any of you guys, I'm sure. Everywhere you look, someone's telling women over 40 to lift weights, lift heavy, build muscle, build your bones, future-proof your body, right? And honestly, I am thrilled about this. I am thrilled that we are getting the message, okay? Because for years, I think we were told to do more cardio, eat less, maybe wave a little pink dumbbell around if we felt brave, but don't go in that weight section of the gym. Oh no, that's just for the men folk. But here's the thing. Even though the message about strength training is getting louder, I'm not sure that it's getting less confusing. I think there's still a huge amount of confusion, and this is evident from the DMs that I get all the time. Just this last week, I've been running some polls in my Instagram, and it's really interesting to me the divergence of responses and what people think they should be doing. People who just really are just, you know, don't know where to start with it. I totally get it, okay? You know, women tell me all the time, how heavy is heavy? How often should I be training? What exercises should I be doing? Do I need a gym? Am I doing it right? Okay, so if this is you, or even if you're kind of like, I think I know what I'm doing, but I need a sense check. Or maybe you've been doing my classes for a while and you're like, I'd love to know the science behind it and why Carly teaches it in a certain way. Then this episode is going to be right up your street. And I hope as well it's going to be one that maybe you'll want to share with somebody else. Because the more people, the more women understanding this stuff and really getting to know their bodies in midlife, the better, in my view. So today's episode is your practical guide to strength training as a woman in midlife. We're going to talk about why it matters more than ever, what it actually does inside your body, and how to do it in a way that actually works without wasting time or just flinging weights around randomly, which is like my pet hate. Okay, because strength training in midlife is more than just a tick box. It's more than just about looking toned. And I hate that expression. It's about building this body that stays capable, resilient and powerful, literally for decades to come, my friends. Okay, so let's crack on. We're going to start right at the top, and I'm going to try not to make this into a science lesson, but you know I like to explain everything thoroughly. So why is it so important to strength train as women in midlife? Well, my friends, and it might sound a little bit depressing, and I make no apology for this because I'm going to give it to you straight. But to be perfectly honest with you, not doing strength training is a training program in its own right, which is a training program to getting weaker and more frail, I'm afraid. Because what we do know is from around 30, the age of 30, and this is actually true for men as well as women, but there are factors, cofactors that make it more of an issue for us women. But from around 30, our muscle mass starts to decline just naturally, okay? And that's around, I've had a look at different stats, between 3 and 8% per decade. However, what we do know that is that in women, this accelerates quite sharply post-menopause, all right, and also after the age of 70. So as we get older, we know we've got this declining muscle mass. And what we also know is going on is that our bones start to become less dense. The quality of them is not as good. Essentially, the period of bone, the mechanism of bone breakdown is accelerated. And we think, probably estimates are, and it varies again from woman to woman, this is about a rate of about 1 to 2% per year post-menopause. Knock on from this is that we also experience some connective tissue problems, maybe cartilage problems as well. This is related to the drop off in estrogen that we experience when we've been through the menopause as well. So what in practical terms does this very bleak picture create in terms of how our lives might look, how our bodies might feel as we get older? Well, there's an expression, frailty, which I use. And I think if you say the word frail, you often think of like a little old lady hunched over with a walking stick, not able to open jars for herself, maybe struggling to get off and on the loo, frail. We don't want to end up like that. We really don't. Personally, I want to do everything I can to guard against that. We also, on a kind of less extreme end of the scale, we will see, I want to say, unfavorable changes in our body composition, which is essentially a way of saying that we will replace our tissue with body fat. It will be redistributed as that nasty visceral fat that pads around our organs, which can lead to all manner of health issues as we get older. Everything from metabolic conditions, certain forms of cancer, cardiovascular disease, we really don't want that. And the reason that is linked to our decline in muscle mass is because muscle, and I've said this before in the pod, is a very hungry tissue. It's a very metabolically active tissue. It plays a role in our glucose regulation. It needs a lot of calories to survive. So the more muscle mass we have, the better our body composition is, the less body fat we are likely to have, and the better for our long-term health prospects, okay? Going back to my point about frailty, what we know as well is that if we are falling in later life and that leads to a fracture, there is a real link between later fractures and all-cause morbidity. I couldn't say the word then. They said mobility, morbidity, which is basically when you're going to die. So it is not a great prospect, is it? It really isn't something that we want to take lightly. The other thing I'll mention as well around this postural point is that we always, and this is a really strange one, and once you see it, you won't be able to unsee it, but our bodies want to return to the fetal position at all times throughout our life. And we do lots to encourage that. So if you think about that curled up fetal position, okay, when we do a lot of sitting, what is happening there is your body is kind of curling in on itself. Everything is flexing forwards. So the back muscles are getting longer and weaker, and the muscles at the front of your body are getting shorter and tighter. Does that make sense? So what we're doing when we are strength training, and we'll come on to this, is kind of moving away from that fetal position. And if you can imagine being in that fetal position all the time, the closer kind of your head is to your knees, the more you're going to experience those postural difficulties, the more you're going to experience things like back pain, neck pain, those kind of old person complaints when you're like getting out of a chair and creaking. So we really don't want to end up like that. I really want to be bounding up the stairs in my 80s. I want to be able to lift my own suitcase into the overhead locker. Heck, I want to be traveling in my later years and seeing the world. And I know there are things in life that we can't prevent. I'm not saying that this is a catch-all for everything, but I'm such a believer that if we can be positive and take these positive steps now, then bloody do it. Come on, let's do it together. Let's look at what the science is telling us, and let's try this preventative medicine really for ourselves. Think of building muscles and building strong bones, and we're going to come on to the mechanism by which this works and how strength training works in a moment, but think of it like your biological pension pot, okay? So we're going to build that up now, and then we're going to draw on it later, all right? We're banking this strength right now, and we're going to draw on it in later life, okay? It's not just about looking a certain way. Right, my friends, let's crack on. So what is strength training? So you sometimes see it referred to as resistance training, which I think people can relate to less, but essentially you are adding in a resistance to an everyday movement. And how is this working? So I think it's quite obvious how this might grow your muscles, all right? Of course, it stimulates muscle growth. You think, yep, I'm using my muscles, great. I'm adding in some extra demand on my muscles, that resistance element, and it's growing my muscles, fine, all well and good. But I just wanted to touch on how this helps bone health, because I don't think that's bleedingly obvious and it's not explained very often. So really simply, when you are using your muscles, they attach to bones. okay, via your tendons. And when you pull on the bone with the muscle, what happens is it creates this micro stress and it wakes up the bone building cells. And essentially we think of bones as being like this dried out kind of, like when you see them in cartoons, when you imagine a bone that you give to your dog. Don't think of it like that. Bones are a living tissue, okay? And when you're pulling on that bone, what you're doing is sending a message to it saying, excuse me, we're building here. And then they build back stronger. Okay, so you are improving that quality of bone. Think of your bone, living tissue, all right? And when you team it with something like a high impact exercise, maybe a bit of plyo work, you're really going to get bang for your buck. But we're going to park that for today. This is not about plyometrics. This is about resistance and strength training. Okay, so that's how we improve the bone health. Also, that is going to improve the integrity of your joints. If you think about your joints and you think about your connective tissue, so we're talking about tendons and ligaments and this thing called fascia, which wraps around your muscles. When you are using the muscles, you are also using and hinging, bending, rotating, whatever you're doing around that joint. So you're really helping to stimulate all those living tissues there so they can build back stronger. You're getting lots of fresh oxygenated blood to those tissues. You're getting that synovial fluid, which helps to lubricate those joints. That's going to be moving more freely. So you can see getting into this type of exercise is going to help you enormously. And then, of course, we have that metabolic health point where we're building more muscle. It's metabolically active. It's very hungry. It helps with your insulin control. So it's really acting as that counterweight to what's naturally happening physiologically behind the scenes. All right. So we know why and we know the how. But what the bloody hell are we meant to do? How, when you're just starting out, or maybe you're already doing some strength training, you're like, yeah, cool, but is this actually ticking the right box for me? And I think it's interesting that I've just flippantly used the phrase tick the right box, when actually I don't want this to be a tick box for you at all. I want this to be a purposeful, mindful activity, all right? This is not about flinging weights around. Really isn't. Willy-nilly, no. This is about thinking about what you're doing and being very purposeful, okay? So with that, I want you to know that when you hear expressions like lift heavy, and we're going to come onto this in a minute, this is all about what is personal to you. So you're going to look at what your goals are. What do you want to get out of your strength training? And we'll come up with, there's three different things that we could maybe look to do with our strength training. And I want you to think about your starting point, okay? All of those are really important. But the main principle I want you to know is that muscles will only change when they have to, okay? So aside from the decline we've talked about, muscles are not going to get stronger unless you make them, unless you have to. And for this, we need a load, okay? So we need a training stimulus. We need to be telling those muscles, giving them a signal, this is bloody hard, and we're going to want to do it again. So when we come back to it, could you just make sure that you've done all the work behind the scenes and built back stronger? And this principle is progressive overload. It essentially means making it harder or making it challenging every single time. And we must have this in order to create a training response, in order to tell those muscles that they need to change. And the mistake that I think I see quite a lot of is with women that come to me and still want to start training with me, and they maybe say, I've been doing a weights class in the local park or in the local gym, and we're given weights at the start, or we go and pick them from a selection, and I tend to use, and I'm like, well, okay, you're using the same weight every week. Yes, I'm using the same weight every week. And how long are you doing it for? Well, I'm just doing it till the instructor says stop, or maybe it's a whole song worth, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, and how does it feel? And they say to me, yeah, it feels fine. And that is a big red flag for me, because it shouldn't feel fine. If it feels comfortable, then you are probably not working hard enough. You are not creating enough of a training impetus, enough of a nudge that is going to make your body, make those muscles wake up and go, oh, geez, yeah, this is hard. We need to level up for next time. Okay. So you might be thinking, oh, shit, that's bad news. This is going to hurt. And yes, sometimes it does. And I absolutely do not want you going in picking the heaviest weight that you can and trying to start with that either. This is all about what is heavy and demanding for you. And we have to get that form and technique right first and foremost. When I talk about technique and I talk about form, you need to either be with a personal trainer who's going to coach you through it and watch you. And that could be the best option for you if you are totally starting out, you want that feedback, you're not sure you're doing it right, or you want to be following somebody who is telling you the right form. You do not want to be cobbling together a load of old crap, quite frankly, from the internet here by yourself. All right. So what we're looking at is technique. Are you moving yourself properly? And to begin with, I would say don't use weights at all. You know, when people come to my classes for the very first time, I say to them, you might not want to use weights. If they ask me, where do I start? I'm like, have you lifted before? If you haven't, just go through the class without a weight at all, or use a couple of water bottles. Okay, just get the movement patterns right. And then we start to add on resistance. But you should always be coming back to that point. Is it heavy enough for me? And I will talk you through that a little bit more in a minute. Okay, so what sort of movements do we need to be doing? Well, there's no real consensus on this, but I think broadly speaking, and I'm going back to my days when I did my PT exams, you're looking at squats, you know, that's getting in and out of a chair movement. You're looking at a hinge, so that's hinging at the waist, bending over at the waist, elongating through the back of the body. Those of you who are familiar, that's something like a deadlift. You're looking at a lunge, could be forward lunging, could be stepping to the side, could be a rear lunge, okay? And you're also looking at a pull movement, so something like a rowing movement. And you're looking at a push. So things like press ups, chest press, that kind of thing, overhead press. So you've got your squat, your lunge, your pull, your push and your hinge. I would also add into that a bit of rotation. So a bit of a twist through the torso, maybe. I would make sure that we're doing some side to side movements, and I'd make sure we're doing some single arm, single leg movements as well. So you're working both sides. You're also challenging the brain. So it's all of these kind of movements that we're doing. Repetition is key, and we'll come onto that in a minute. And you are adding in weights when you are ready. Okay, so you can see how certain movements, things like Pilates, might count as strength work if you're adding on that extra resistance. Okay, equally, it's very obvious to see how going and getting a barbell out in the gym and doing some squats there is going to count as strength training. So there's this whole continuum. All right. And I think this is where the nuance gets lost sometimes online, and it gets such a polarized debate about lifting heavy or lifting light. And I've seen some really concerning posts on social media around this idea of swapping lifting challenging weights for lifting very light weights, and how there was, I think, a couple of pieces that got sort of very headline grabby. Headlines put on them, and people were like, oh, well, if I want to look lean and I want to have lovely long muscles and this aesthetic, then I need to be swapping my heavy weights for light weights. I'm going to feel really toned. And I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. And I really would encourage you, I know we are so flipping conditioned in this regard, but I would love it if we stopped thinking about strength training as a way to look a certain way or to look sculpted. This is about building your body for the long term, my friends. Please, if you take nothing else away from this, this is absolutely crucial for your long term health. You are building like a suit of armor that you are going to don as you go into later life, right? That's my rallying cry to you all. I don't want a flimsy bloody suit of armour with a, you know, super, oh, it's super thin. No, I want it chunky. I want it protective. Okay, that's what we're doing here. All right. So get off my soapbox a minute, Carly. And we're going to go back and talk about how much you should be doing and where you should sit on this continuum of lighter weights, lots of reps, or, you know, fewer reps and lifting really heavy. So when we talk about reps and sets, and if you are totally new to strength training, you might see these words and not really know what they mean. So very briefly, your rep stands for repetitions, and that is the number of times you are lifting a weight or you're doing an exercise like a squat. Okay. And you then batch that into sets. So if I say to you, you're going to do two sets of five reps, that means you're going to do five repetitions. So you're going to repeat the exercise five times. So you're going to squat up and down five times. Okay. Then you're going to have a break and that's one set. And then you're going to come back for your second set and you're going to do exactly the same. So that's how we batch it down. Now, this is not random. They're not random numbers. And when you are working with somebody, like when I work with my class, I am thinking all the time, how many repetitions is she likely to get in here? And I'm making it fit with a certain formula, because your repetitions and your sets are basically instructions for the adaptation you want. It's like a recipe. Okay. This is where it gets, I think this, when I did my PT exams, this was like the big thing for me. I found this so like revelatory. Okay. So you think about what the outcome is that you want from your strength training, and then that will dictate the number of reps and sets that you do. And then as for picking your weight, all you need to do in this is to make sure that by the time you get to the end of your reps, you're thinking, oh my days, I couldn't squeeze out more than one or two more with good form. I'd be crumbling. Okay. And it's as simple as that. That's how you know you're working at the right weight. Okay. So let's go through. I'm going to give you a little potted guide. You're going to need your pen ready, your notes section on your phone. You might want to pause this and come back to it. So for pure strength, and this is talking about like the maximum force that you could do, building that pure strength. Okay. You're going to be looking at 1 to 5 reps. So really low reps here, but for between 4 and 6 sets. And when you're building that pure strength, it's not just about your muscle. There's a central nervous system response in there as well. So this is a really important rep range and we'll come back to in a minute. So pure strength, 1 to 5 reps, 4 to 6 sets, okay? Then the second block up, this is sometimes referred to, you see it online, as hypertrophy. All that means is muscle growth. It's just the scientific name for muscle growth, okay? So your muscle growth, the getting that message to your brain, oh, we need to grow the muscles, you're looking at 6 to 12 repetitions of an exercise and 3 to 6 sets. So there's quite a lot of tolerance in there. It depends on the type of muscles that you're working. But yeah, 6 to 12 reps. So again, not huge. And 3 to 6 sets, all right, broadly speaking. And then finally, we're going to talk about endurance. And I think you know what endurance is. It's stamina. It's being able to go for a really long time, you know, long runs, long walks, long cycles, et cetera, need endurance in those muscles. And then you are looking at upwards of like 15 to 20 plus reps, okay, and maybe 3 to 4 sets, okay? So that is kind of your top end. I would say, because this is where we come into it, you're like, okay, well, tell me what I need. What do I need then? Which is better? I think we all need a little bit of everything. But when it comes to your pure strength training work, I think you are probably getting enough. We are probably getting enough as midlife women of the endurance work. So I wouldn't bother with that. Okay, I would not bother with that. That high rep range, light weights, you know, doing 100 squats, pointless. Don't do it. No point. Go for a walk instead. You'll get mental health benefits. You'll get outside. You'll get a bit of cardio, low intensity cardio, much better for you. Okay, don't bother with those, right? Where the magic comes in for us as midlife women going through this perimenopause, menopause transition, is in that lower rep range. Now, let's talk for a moment. I think we all kind of think, but I just want to grow my muscles. So don't I sit in that middle? Maybe I'll do 10 reps. I'll do 3 sets of 10. That's a nice round number. Yeah, cool. But have a think for a minute about that pure strength element here. What we know as we head through that menopause transition, and particularly as our estrogen and our testosterone drop off a cliff, because they will eventually as we head post-menopause, and they are our steroid hormones, our growth hormones, okay? And what we lose, what the science is showing, is that we lose the ability to make a strong muscular contraction. So we're basically losing power. And this might translate in lots of different ways. This might translate in your running speed going down. It might translate with just feeling like you can't push as hard in something like a HIIT workout, okay? So we're losing that power. It's manifesting in all kinds of different ways. But what we can do, and this is where strength training is so clever, if we go in at that lower rep range, that pure strength, 1 to 5 reps, 4 to 6 sets, okay, what we do is our central nervous system, do you remember I said it's a central nervous system response as well, will plug the gap. So where we've lost the estrogen, which is telling the muscle what it's doing, the central nervous system kicks in and plugs that gap. Okay, so we can push it that bit further. So I would really urge you, when you're ready, to pick a weight that you can only lift maybe 4 or 5 times. And that is, you're going to be your pure strength work. That's going to give you such a strong training nudge, such a strong stimulus. And then you can overload this over time. It's all about pushing it. Okay. As I said before, if it's comfortable, if it feels comfortable, then it's probably not working. Okay. It's probably not really doing much for your body. You may be in that endurance zone, and we're getting such a lot of that from elsewhere in life, just from going through life. We don't really need it in this context. Okay. Before we wrap up, I want to deal with a couple of things that come up a lot with the women that I work with and I get messages around. And the first question is often, I'm totally new to this. What weight do I use and how do I know what weight I should use? And oh my God, I can't get to a gym, and how am I going to get access to heavyweights? And I'm always like, you are trying to run before you can walk here. If you've not lifted weights before, you absolutely don't need heavy weights. You need a pair of medium-ish dumbbells, okay, to get yourself started. And actually, top tip, if you go to somewhere like a Decathlon, if you've got one near you, they've got loads out on display. So you can just go and have a little lift and see how it feels. Most of us, when I start talking to women, often they've actually got some weights in the cupboard that they've forgotten about, or their partner's got some, or their teenager's got some that they can actually use. And no, they might not be ideal to begin with, and they might be those old fashioned ones with the metal handles, but just get yourself a cheap pair of lifting gloves to pad out and work with what you've got to begin with. You'll soon establish how heavy you need to train. Okay, it's trial and error. You could even start actually with a couple of litre water bottles, you know, or I mean, in lockdown, we had to improvise all the time. Those big kind of, you know, those big boxes of laundry powder, they're a couple of kilos. You can use some of those. You can load up a backpack with books. There are so many ways, but actually just invest. Seriously, you know, I speak to women all the time and they'll think nothing about paying £15 a class for a reformer Pilates. And I'm like, just buy a pair of dumbbells. It might cost you £40, £50. But you are also going to get so much use out of them. They are so useful. It's an investment and they have a really good resale value secondhand as well. You can always pick them up secondhand. So just be flexible. And people are like, but they take up so much room. I'm like, just stack them. If you buy the hexagon ones rather than the round ended ones, you can stack them. Pop them in a corner of a room. Seriously, this is such a big investment. This is so serious. We really need to be thinking about this in the long term. And as for how do you know when you should move up a weight? Well, again, we're going to come back to this principle. Whichever of those ranges you're choosing, and I would firmly encourage you to go with that muscle growth, the hypertrophy range, or the pure strength range, and a little mix of the two. In fact, that's what I do in my classes. When you're getting to the end of that set, are you thinking, geez Louise, this is, woo, that's spicy, I can't do any more? Or are you thinking, I could have kept going for ages, right? If it's the latter, we need to increase that weight. And you don't need to wait until you can do all your reps and all your sets at that heavier weight. In fact, again, this is something I demo sometimes because I try and do it and talk at the same time. And sometimes I'll start with a heavier weight and I'll be like, no, this is the weight I would use if I was on my own not talking to you. So I drop it back down. And actually, you don't need to do everything perfectly. You don't need to wang out 5 sets at the same weight. When you're just on the cusp of edging up, maybe do 1 set, maybe do half a set at that heavier weight, but you're never going to progress. Muscles only change, remember, when they have to, right? So you need to create that training impetus. It's so important. Okay, I am very open to your questions. I'm going to wrap this up because there's so many little avenues and little side alleys that I could go down here. And this is something for later pods. But I want this to be about what you want to know. I hope this has given you a really solid overview and maybe just that little bit of a kick up the arse to go and do it, to lift a bit heavier, to give it a try. Always with the good form, my friends. So important. Please don't hurt yourselves. Get that professional help. Make sure you're working with a coach that understands me, how women's bodies work, right? But if you've got any questions, pop over to my Instagram. I'm at Carly Corrigal. I will pop my handle in the show notes. Send me your questions. We can talk about this on future pods. All right, meet your body where it is. Don't try and run before you can walk. Don't just fling your weights around without thinking about how it feels. This is about training properly, training progressively. It's so, so crucial. All right. One last word. I get asked about bodyweight exercises, things like pull-ups, things like press-ups. When you're doing press-ups and pull-ups, you are supporting your own body weight. That is your resistance. So they are incredibly challenging. So yes, they still count. Okay. And on that note, I have a press up challenge. If you're listening to this sort of the week that this comes out, we kick off on the following Monday, which is the 2nd of March. It is 10 days of guided coaching. It's all free to join. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. I run these every so often, so don't worry if you miss out this time around, there will be another one. And essentially, you're going to get 10 days of tips delivered directly to your inbox so you can master your full press ups from whatever starting point. Also going to give you the ability to ask me for some feedback, some personalized feedback. So that is something to get cracking on with if you are interested in getting really strong this year. Also, I have my Train with Carly fitness membership. It's HIIT and strength, but the strength classes are everything that we've talked about. So if you're like, okay, I need to do this, but I don't know where to start with it. I mean, blowing my own trumpet here, but this is the whole point, right? I am creating something that I know we need to make sure that we are doing it properly, okay? And I'm going to put details of those in the show notes. I love talking about this stuff with you. I hope you enjoy the pod. Please feel free to share it with a friend if you found it useful, or come and tell me over on Instagram. Guys, have a cracking week. I will speak to you very soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.